I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Well, tonight I want to share with you, it is a great thing to serve the Lord. Amen. Say with me, it is a great thing to serve the Lord. Say it again, it is a great thing to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. It is a great thing indeed to serve the Lord, and I want to encourage you tonight to make serving the Lord your aim in life. People who exist not for their own ends or to achieve their own aims, but to achieve the aims of another person. Can I have an amen? And that is a spirit that we all need to have, the ability to serve and to fulfill the aims and the goals and the interests of another person, especially the Lord. Amen. Amen. So to be a servant of God means that you now exist to serve the interest of God and not your own interests. But I can understand how that, you know, as an individual, you know, growing up in life, you can more easily tilt towards serving your own interests, especially when you get to a place where you kind of feel like your life is in your own hands. Do you see what I'm saying? And so you feel a great burden to serve your own interests. But God's interests are greater than our interests. And serving God will yield greater dividends than serving your own interests. Amen. In the Bible, you find priests and Levites were servants of God. The priests and the Levites were examples of servants of God. They were the common type of servants of God, people who were called a servant of God, the priests and the Levites. First Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 21 says, "And behold, the causes of the priest and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God." They shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God, and there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing skillful man for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. Amen. So now in this verse you can see that, you know, there were certain people, it says the priests and the Levites, they were supposed to be dedicated to the house of God and to the things of God. And it says all manner of service. They were supposed to be there for all the service of the house of God. Anything to do with the church. Anything to do with the house of God. Anything to do with God's things. That was their duty. Amen. And it says, there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. So sometimes people underestimate what the work of God requires. Do you get what I'm saying? People, in fact, there are many people who feel that, and that's one of the reasons why some people don't even want to serve God full time in the ministry, because they feel like, what am I going to do? Do you understand? If you like, what am I going to do? But you can see that he says that the work of God, all manner of workmanship, means that the work of God it can be broken down into so many different types of work that you cannot even believe exists. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then the second element in this verse is how that the work of God also requires skill. That God also needs skillful people to do his work. Do you understand? Most of the time when people are good at something, then they offer it to Morgan Stanley or Stanley Morgan or JP Morgan or Morgan JP. Do you get it? They offer it to someone else other than the work of God because they feel like they are too skilled or too educated to move towards the work of God. But look at it. The Lord is saying every willing, skillful man, you know, for any manner of service, so any type of work in the house of God requires skill. Amen. God wants people who are good at what they do to work for him in his house. There is nothing wrong with someone who is good at what he does working in the house of God. Amen. I know a lot of musicians who feel a lot of pressure, you know, to offer their services elsewhere because it's like the work of God is too basic for their skills. Do you see? Yeah. And I know many of them who end up piercing themselves through with many sorrows because they end up backsliding because the sort of company they have to keep, you know, and the sort of schedules they have to run, the places they have to go to, the people they have to run with and flow with, you know, that company does not support a healthy spiritual life. It doesn't support that. It doesn't support if you're with people who are drinking and boozing and fornicating and, you know, doing all sorts of things around you and you are just the one righteous person who is there only to play keys. Man, you will soon see that there's more to life than keys. You see the thing? Yeah, and you're not playing keys all the time. You see, so when people are skilled, they tend to move more towards the world. But you can direct your skill towards the house of God. You can pray to God to make a way for your skills. That, Lord, I can do this, and Lord, make a way for me to use it for you. And God will make a way for you to use your skills for him. You will even be tired. You will be tired. Do you understand? You will be shocked at the unending nature of the work of God and how it grows and grows and increases and the work doesn't finish. You will be surprised at how much there is to do for the Lord. Hallelujah. Right? So the other group of people who were also called servants of God, prophets. The prophets were also called servants of God. 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 9. He says, "And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel." Amen. He calls them my servants, the prophets. God said, my servants, the prophets. My servants, the prophets. Hallelujah. So you have to be careful when you're talking about prophets. Because you would be talking about the servants of God. And God may not hold you guiltless if you criticize someone that he has chosen. Amen. Someone that he has chosen. If you criticize the person, you are criticizing God's judgment. You are criticizing God's thinking. Do you understand what I'm saying? When I choose something and you question it, you know, then you're questioning my judgment, you're questioning my intelligence, you're questioning, you know, my sense of choice. Do you get it? And my ability to choose good and bad. Hallelujah. And so there are so many people who represent themselves as prophets of God. It is not your duty to select between and choose and appoint which one is good and which one is not good. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yours is just to keep quiet. Amen. Keep quiet and observe. There's a lot to observe these days. You see, but we must in humility also know that we don't know everything. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. To say that something is wrong or is bad just because it's strange to you is also arrogant. It's arrogant because it also presupposes you know everything. You know everything that's supposed to be. And so if it's strange to you, then it can't possibly be real. It can't possibly be a good thing. How can you think like that? How can you think and say that if it's strange to you, then it's not possible that it's the real thing? Now you are too proud. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So even if you don't know, you are not sure about, if you're uncomfortable with whatever, just keep quiet. Do you get it? Flip on to the next video and just watch something. Are you getting it? Yeah. And like Bishop does, if you cannot find any good video to watch, just watch animals. You get it? If you watch lions chasing. Yesterday I saw a video, what did they call it? They said self-confidence or something like that. It was a dog barking at two lions. You know, yeah, it was a small dog. You know, these poodles, they are very daring and they try to do different things. And they were in the field. Then there was two of them, male and female, you know, and the dog came at them and the dog barked at them, and then they moved. And then they went back a bit and they were just watching the guy. The dog kept barking and they moved again. You know, eventually they just went somewhere and they just, you know, and I think the dog was the dog of the owner of some animals, some cattle or sheep. I didn't see that very well, but there was some animals at a distance, and the lions, of course, were hoping that they could grab their lunch from there. And they saw this little dog screaming. The lions were just, why? It's like, oh, you small thing like you, why do you shout like that? Wow. Amen. So if you watch something like that, there'll be nothing to criticize. Do you understand? And we need to be careful. Do you get it? Because look at how the scripture goes. It says, where is the scripture? It says, oh no, this is not it. This is not the scripture. 9:7. 2 Kings 9:7, not 7:9. Okay. 2 Kings 9:7. Any, I don't know what has happened to you since. All right. Okay. Thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets. Did you see that? He says, my servants, the prophets. And look at it. He says, you have to do this to Ahab because I want to avenge the blood of my servants. So yes, he allowed them to be killed by Ahab and so on. Jezebel is the one who organized all these things, you know, and God was watching coolly as though he didn't care. But now he said, look, what you thought I didn't care about, I cared very, very much about it. Do you understand? And you can see that it's happening not as an immediate response to the action, but much later on, when everybody thinks everything is cool, God has revisited the issue and has come up and he says, listen, you don't touch my servants and go scot-free. You can't do that. Amen. So he says, I'm going to avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord. the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. Hallelujah. So we have to be very careful with the prophets. What do you think? My servants, the prophets. Hallelujah. Next one. The next. After the priests and the prophets, the Levites, priests, Levites, and prophets, who are the most common category of people we know as servants of God. Then you come to now ordinary people. And you will find that actually the ordinary people who were called servants of God were more than the professionals, like the priests, the prophets, the Levites. Do you understand? And the first example is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. These are three great businessmen. Do you see? Yeah. These people were not temple people. They were not priests. They were just ordinary people who had a close relationship with God and whom God referred to as his servants. Okay? So Exodus chapter 32 and verse 13. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 13. The Bible says, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. Hallelujah. So Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, or Jacob, these were all servants of God. Hallelujah. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, servants of God. Regular people, ordinary people, but they were also servants of God. So you can also be called a servant of God. Hallelujah. You can also refer to yourself as, I'm a servant of God. Regardless of where you work, regardless of what you do for a living, you can see yourself, consider yourself as a servant of God. Hallelujah. Jacob was a multi-millionaire and he was called a servant of God. Isn't it? Jacob, Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 8. Isaiah 41 and verse 8 and 9, it says, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. This is wonderful, isn't it? God is calling Jacob his servant. He says, you are my servant, whom I have chosen. Whom I have chosen. And you are the seed of Abraham, my friend. And Abraham is not a priest. What do you think? How would you like God to refer to you as Aldridge, my friend? Do you see? Because you would expect that if God is talking about his friends, you'll be looking for who? Like pastors, priest Billy Graham, isn't it? And Benny Hinn and other great men of God, Bishop Dagg. What do you think? Yes, such people. But you can see, ordinary people are also referred to God as referred to by God as his friends. God says, that's my friend. Abraham is my friend. He's not a pastor, but he's my friend. What do you think? It's wonderful. Hallelujah. I'm blessed by this verse, you know. It says, Jacob, or Israel, my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, and the seed of Abraham, my friend. Okay. So Jacob was a servant of God. Hallelujah. Even though he was looking after sheep, he was actually working for somebody. So the servant of God can be somebody's employee. Wow. Do you understand? And because the servant of God even works there, that person is going to be prosperous and his business is going to flourish and things are going to work out for him, and he wouldn't even know why. He wouldn't understand that he has one of God's favorite people right there on his payroll. You know, so there are some people, they fire you at their own risk. They let you go and they don't know that they let the blessing of God go from their business. But Laban, he was not like that. Jacob's boss, he understood the whole thing. He looked at his balance sheets before Jacob came, and then he looked at it after Jacob. Then he said, no, 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 no. The difference, I mean, brought an analyst who created graphs and charts and so on, and he looked at the trajectory of the graph, and he looked at it that before Jacob, it was like a flat line with, you know, some small zigzag type of increases, you see. Then enters Jacob, then you get it? Yeah, it just went up. So the guy looked at the thing, he said, no, no. I can see that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. There's something you bring to this business. I cannot let you go. He said, name your wages. Name your salary. Your day is coming when you'll be asked to name your salary. Name how much you want to be paid. Your day is coming when you'll be asked to name how much you'll be paid. You tell us how much, what will it take to keep you here? You tell us. That's how Jacob became rich. Became rich on the day they asked him, tell us what will your paycheck be. Do you see? And then God gave him wisdom to choose how he should be paid. Do you get it? Yeah. It's not always you should ask for money. There are times when you should wisely design the pay packet. Do you understand? Yes. Such that it assures you of a lifetime of blessing and good things. Can I have an amen? Amen. Right. The next person is Moses. Moses, who was like a head of state. Isn't it? Moses was like a leader of Israel. Now, the leader of Israel means Moses would be the equivalent of any of the leaders of Israel, like, what are their names? Netanyahu and Ehud Barak and, you know, Shimon Peres and all these people who have led Israel. Yeah. Moses was just one of them. But God called him Moses, my servant. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. God told Joshua, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Hallelujah. So God calls Moses his servant. You see, and Moses is, apart from even the part of Moses I'm talking about, the part of his life I'm talking about, is his more glorious end, where he's a leader of the people. But by the time God sets his eye on Moses and God starts his interest in Moses, he's actually a fugitive. He's wanted. He's running away. He's considered a criminal. You know, they have his face on posters all over the place. He's been banned from many places in town. He's not supposed to come there. You know, yeah. And they're having a TV show, you know, Israel's top 10 most wanted people, you know. And Moses is like number 2. Get it? Wanted, wanted, wanted. And they're looking for him. Do you get it? And how can God be interested in such a person and even call him my servant? So it could be that there's someone even in jail right now that God is calling my servant. And it's not strange. Joseph was in jail and God was giving him prophecies and dreams and visions and helping people to interpret their dreams and so on. The Bible says God was with him. So God doesn't even mind going to prison with his servant.
Wow.
Isn't it? Because the Lord was with him means the Lord was there in the prison. Isn't it? It's just that you can't put the Lord in prison. You will not be very successful. Hallelujah. So he said, Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So you can see that prosperity is also spiritual. Do you understand? Can you see that here the prosperity is following the person? It says, whithersoever thou goest, thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So you don't even go to a place to prosper. You actually bring prosperity like Pastor Munene's trailer with you. Are you getting it? Yeah. And then Pastor Munene's trailer, imagine that's prosperity. It means you can prosper any place. You get it? Yeah. You can prosper in any place. I hope that trailer has the presence of God since it's kept in my house. Because when they used to keep the ark of the Lord in this house of Obed-Edom, he prospered greatly. I think I must start looking out for fantastic prosperity since that thing is... But then you see, as soon as my prosperity begins to show, he'll do what David did. He'll start to keep it in his own house. You just say, oh, Apostle, I found a place for it. My garage is good and I want to keep the trailer there. You see, but that's when I'll negotiate. I'll say, one for you, one for me. Okay. 1 week in your house, 1 week in my house. How about that? You can see, but you can see that it's a spiritual thing. Think of prosperity like that. That it is something you bring with you. It is something you bring with you that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Whithersoever thou goest. So you will not be afraid of going to places. Because your prosperity does not depend on the place. Your prosperity depends on what you are bringing with you. Whithersoever thou goest, that thou mayest prosper. Hallelujah. The thing you should not leave behind is the commandment, what he has commanded thee. All the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand. Hallelujah. So prosperity is a spiritual thing.
Amen.
And I pray that God will cause you to see real prosperity.
Amen.
God will cause you to see real prosperity.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Expect to prosper. Because you are a servant of God. You are a servant of the Most High. Expect to prosper. Amen. Yeah. And when you see servants of God prospering, you should support it. And you should say, yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. You get it? You shouldn't let some antennas go up on your head that cannot be seen. That you get suspicious and you wonder, and you have some people who sort of try to rationalize everything and say, why must a pastor have something like this? And why must a priest have something like this? You want to prosper, but you don't want God's servants to prosper. How are you going to prosper? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But I believe that God wants his people to prosper. Not just his servants, as in the priests and pastors and prophets and pastors, but God wants his children to prosper. Amen. And I believe you are one of those who will prosper and flourish and do well in Jesus' name. Amen. The next person who was also called a servant of God was David the king. David the king. David the king was a leader of a country. The equivalent of maybe a politician in our day. You know. And God called him my servant. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 1. He says, it came to pass when the king sat in his house and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. May God give you rest round about from anything that makes you unhappy, from anything that contends for your peace, anything that is an enemy to your life. May God give you rest from that thing in the name of Jesus. Any form of harassment in Jesus' name. It says the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. Do you remember last Sunday we were reading a verse from Proverbs, I think it was 16 and 15, how it said, when the ways of a man pleases God, he causes even his enemies, isn't it, to be at peace with him. He causes even his, when God likes you, he makes your enemies relax. Do you get it? Yeah, he makes your enemies relax. He says, chill, 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 chill. Hey, relax. You see, makes your enemies relax. Sometimes, I remember one time I went to somebody's house and his dogs came out and they were barking, you know, wildly. And then the guy comes out and he tells the dogs, hey, 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 hey. Then he just calls them by some name. And then before you know it, the same dogs are just wagging their tails. You see, because the guy has caused the enemies to relax. Yeah, 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 relax. You see, God is not afraid of people's enemies. In Psalm 23, he says he lay a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Yeah, enemies will be sitting there and you are eating and you are happy. Because God has made them relax. God has made them relax. Hallelujah. So he says God gave David rest round about from all his enemies. Round about means every enemy. The enemy of sickness, the enemy of finances, the enemy of marital discord, the enemy of wayward children. Anything that will rob him of his peace. Including enemies from other nations and other countries. That were always fighting Israel. I mean, today, even today we know that Israel is not a nation that knows rest. You get it? They're in the news every day because they have to watch their backs all the time. Because they live surrounded by their enemies. Every day their enemies are looking right inside there to see what's going on here. That's what it means. The other day I saw their plane. They have an aircraft, it was a big one, 747. I think it was at Newark Airport. I saw the plane. Then I observed that the plane, they only park it at the gate just for boarding and it takes off. But when it comes to the gate and dispatches all the passengers, they push it back in the open. And then there's a vehicle watching it. Yeah, you look for an Israeli plane, any Israeli plane, they call them LL, as the airline, LL. And you see, it has the Star of David on it, yeah. You see, anywhere it's parked, you look around, you see there's a car, a small one, just, they watch it physically, they sit there, their eyes open, watching the car. They don't make any assumptions. They actually say that it's one of the airlines with the highest safety record. Yeah, they don't crash. They don't those things. You cannot go near it. Yeah. You see. So, the Lord, the king sat in his house. You will have your own house. I said you will have your own house. Do you believe you will have your own house? A house that you have paid for. Yes, cash. You can afford it. You'll be able to have a house. Oh, expect it. These are the possessions of the servants of God. The servant of God has a house. It says he sat in his house. Servant of God in his house. Hallelujah. So expect to have a house. He says that the Lord delivered him from his enemies. And then the king said unto Nathan the prophet, So you can see that the prophet is different from the king. Isn't it? Yeah. This king said to Nathan the prophet, "See, now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in thy heart, for the Lord is with thee." And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, "Go tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me an house for me to dwell in." Hallelujah. He said, "Go tell my servant David." Hallelujah. May God have a testimony like that about you. May God refer to you as his servant. May God tell somebody to come and tell you, his servant, something from him. Hallelujah. I'm sure Prophet Nathan was surprised. He thought he was the only servant of God. I'm sure he was surprised when God said, "Go tell my servant." He was about to say, "You mean me?" Then said, "No, no, somebody else. You are not the only servant." Hallelujah. "Go tell my servant David. Go tell my servant David. Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me an house for me to dwell in." Hallelujah. So you can see that David also has made it onto the servant list. And there are many others. There are many others. Next one is a guy called Zerubbabel. And that is in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 23. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 23. Now, Zerubbabel is the governor of Judah. You know, he says, "In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts." May God choose you.
Amen.
I said, may God choose you.
Amen.
Because you can see that one of the characteristics of the servants of God is they are chosen by God. And often the word choose is, or chosen, is applied to them. Do you get it? It's like God actually chose them. Now, when you choose, it means you have options. Do you get it? Yeah. Otherwise, you just take. Isn't it? When you choose, it means something else or someone else was not chosen. Someone who probably had the same opportunities, someone similar to you, was not chosen. Hallelujah. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So, when there's only one, you just take what is there. Do you get it? But when there's more than one, there are many others or many other people, many other things that can do what you are looking to do, and you select one. That's the choosing. Amen. And God chooses his servants. And so I pray that you will be chosen. I pray that God will find in you a quality, something he so loves that makes him want to choose you. Hallelujah. That you will be the person of choice for the Lord. That God will choose you, 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 you. God will opt for you. God will say, you, in spite of your faults, in spite of any problem you may have, God will choose you. Hallelujah. Today I was chatting with one of our pastors, and I was explaining to him how that all the people, or like all these people, all the people that God seemed to be fond of in the Bible, they are famous for one main thing that God asked them to do. Do you understand? So I was telling him, we need to pray for our eyes to be open to that thing. You see? And then I even backtracked and said, you know, I don't even know if we can see it. Do you get it? But I just pray that somehow we find it. Do you get it? That somehow we find, because you will have a series of instructions, but there is the one instruction that is the instruction. Now, when those people passed those tests, it didn't matter which ones they failed at. Do you see? That's why God's people seem to have all these problems and so on. See, all these people that we are mentioning, their servant, my servant, they all have issues, isn't it? Yes, they all have issues that will make you even disqualify them. But because that's not the instruction. Do you understand? That's not the instruction. God didn't tell Abraham, don't sleep with your wife's maid. That was not the instruction. And so even though Abraham did that and it's brought so many problems and so on, it's okay. Yeah, this is it. I told you, move from here and go here, and you did it. I said, sacrifice your son, and you did it. For that, I'll bless you. Now bless you enough to neutralize the effect of your mistakes. Are you getting it? Yeah. So you see all of them, you know, you take Solomon. Solomon is the one who came to the Lord and said, I want to build you a temple. God had already told this guy, his father, David, that you will not build me a temple. Your son will build me a temple. And when the son came, his son was filled with that same desire. He said, I want to do it. I want to build a temple. Do you get it? So this one son who built the temple, he was fulfilling whatever God had required of him. But then he has so many problems. He loves so many women. Hey, so I imagine that sometimes God will just be watching him. The guy has got a new girlfriend. He said, hey, Solomon. You're getting the accounting, and the accounting, maybe they have a scoreboard or some chart in heaven. You get it? Or they had a world map, and everywhere Solomon's found a woman, they put a pin there. And the whole wall was covered with Solomon's wives. Do you get it? But you understand why God likes him. Are you getting what I'm saying? My father used to have a driver. This one driver, all his brothers and everyone around him didn't understand why my dad would tolerate this man. Because the guy could disappear. Like, his job was to come to our home in the morning, like arrive around 7, take the kids to school, then come back for my dad around 8, you know. And like, sometimes we'll just be ready to go to school. Zero. It's just not there. He didn't come. No phone call, no message, nothing. He's just not there. He's just not there. You see, so he'll come out, you know, and then he'll discover that we are stranded, then we have to go to school with him. He has to go a little earlier and all that. He's fuming, and the guy doesn't come the next day. He doesn't come the following day. He doesn't come, you know, sometimes 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks. Nobody has seen or heard from this man. And everyone thinks he has fired himself. But he, the driver, knows he still has a job. He knows he still has a job. Yeah. Everybody knows he's finished. This guy is finished. I mean, my mother will be there. She'll be up there. This guy should never come to this house again. We'll just be there maybe after 2 weeks, even 3 weeks. Then, around 6 o'clock in the morning, the gate will open. This guy has come to the house. Comes, he starts sweeping the compound. Yeah, so you'd be sleeping and you just hear someone sweeping the compound. The guy has landed. Sweep the entire compound, sort out the gardens. Wow. We used to have these goats, and so he would go there, feed them, you know. By the time my dad is ready, the guys, and the car also, he washed the car. Yes, everything is just there. By the time my dad comes out, the man is standing outside there. You know, there was a day when my dad came out and took the guy and left him. But the guy took a taxi and he went to follow him. Hey. But we who were with, I mean, who understood it a little bit, knew that this particular guy, he would do for my father what no other person would do. You know, he would do anything, anything, like anything, literally. He was a driver, but he would come and sweep, you know, which wasn't part of his job. But he would come, he would do just anything. And so when my father had all his extra curricular things to do, you know, this fellow would be there for him. They would travel sometimes in the night, you know, and he liked to travel with him because he said, this guy, if you travel with him, if your car breaks down, he will never leave you by the roadside. Because I think he was also a part-time mechanic. And actually the guy was, he was actually a part-time fisherman. So the reason why he used to disappear was around the fishing season. When there's a lot of fish, he would just disappear. He'd try to go make some money and then come back. And when he appears, he brings a lot of fish. You know, but you not understand why, and he was never fired. I tell you, he was never fired. He was never fired, and for a long time, we didn't see when my dad died, and we had a funeral. Some people were just filing past the body. I looked, here was the man. He had appeared at the funeral to come and pay his last respects. You will never understand why someone likes his servant. So if you see one small fault with someone, don't think that is all there is to it. You get it? Because all the people, you can go and read about them. Everyone that God did something great with, God seemed to give him an important instruction. It's almost like God understands you can't do everything. But he gives you this one thing. You just do this for me. And the one thing, if it is done, he seems to choose the people and he seems to like them regardless of what else they can't do. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, regardless of what they can't do. Hallelujah. Do you understand that point? It's a very, very important point. If you work for your boss at your workplace, find the one thing that he seems to want you to do. And you just do that one. If you do that one, it will guarantee and secure your job. Because everybody understands that everyone is a human being. There's no one who can do everything. We all wish everyone can do everything. Do you understand? But there's a reason why he wants you. And that one thing you must do. Do you understand? And when you do that, you will see that you have a job always. You get it? Because what's important gets done. Can I have an amen? Amen. Right. Then the next servant is the whole nation of Israel is referred to as servants of God. And you find that in Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25. Let's read from verse 39. It says, and if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bond servant, but as an hired servant, and as a sojourner he shall be with thee, and shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee, and then he shall depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return to his own family, unto the possession of his fathers shall he return. For they are my servants, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen. Thou shalt not rule over him with rigor, but shall fear thy God. Hallelujah. Do you see? So if you have a child of God under you in some way, you find yourself able to exert some kind of authority over anybody or any one of God's children, you have to remember that God, who has allowed that arrangement, is still mindful. Do you understand? That he doesn't want you, he says, thou shalt not rule over him with rigor. But you must fear God. Do you get it? Yeah, because they are his servants. He says, I brought them out of Egypt. You see, so out of the people God has brought out of Egypt, then because of some kind of situation, poverty, whatever, the person becomes a servant of another person. He says, look, treat him properly. Don't treat him like a slave. Do you get it? Treat him properly. And when it's time to let him go, the year of Jubilee is when they release the slaves, you know, and says, let him go. Do you see? And let him go with all his children. Don't keep one child and say, you owe me money, so you go, but your son will serve me. No, let the guy go. Let him go to his own family, because I paid the price to save them from Egypt. And I didn't bring them from Egypt to become your servant. Do you see? Yeah, so he says you have to be careful, you must fear God. Amen. And there's another one in the same chapter, verse 53. He says, and as a yearly hired servant shall he be with him, and the other shall not rule with rigor over him in thy sight. And if he be not redeemed in these years, then he shall go out in the year of Jubilee, both he and his children with him. For unto me the children of Israel are servants. Can you see that? They are my servants whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Amen. So there are all these arrangements, but he says, look, don't forget, they are my servants. Unto me the people of Israel are my servants. Amen. They are servants unto me. Next servant quickly is Job. Job, the greatest businessman from the east. And that's Job chapter 1. You know the story. It says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was a perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. And that man was greatest of all the men of the east. Hallelujah. One day we'll be describing your possessions. Right? There's 2 houses here, 5 houses over there. There's 3 cars there and 2 this. And he has 3 bank accounts over there and 7 bank accounts in that place and 3 businesses over here. Expect it. Amen. Expect it. God will bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says there was a day his sons went and feasted in their house and so on. And he says, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Hey! And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? My servant Job. That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. You know, and then verse 10 says, hast thou not, no, verse, go to verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for not? Hallelujah. So you can see Job also, God is referring to him as my servant. Hallelujah. And you can see that he's not poor, isn't it? Yeah. So if you don't have a problem with Job's wealth, you shouldn't have a problem with any pastor or prophet's prosperity. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, God blesses his servants, isn't it? Even Satan says that. Look, look, Satan says, does Job fear God for nothing? Do you see? He has observed and carefully noted that when people serve God, they seem to be blessed by him, isn't it? And he began to list the blessings, verse 10. According to Satan, when you serve God, he makes a hedge about you and about your house and about all that you have on every side. And he says, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased. Expect all these blessings, because these are the blessings that belong to the sons and the servants of God. Your substance will greatly increase. I said your substance will greatly increase. You will have more than one of anything that you need. Anything that you need, you will have more than one option by the grace of God. Hallelujah. I said amen. God will bless you. Right. Then the last one for tonight is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king. And he is also called the servant of God. Jeremiah 25 and verse 8. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and perpetual desolations. Hallelujah. So God's servants include even wicked people. Do you see? Yeah. God's servants, strangely, includes some people that you wouldn't have thought will qualify as a servant of God. But remember, a servant, you know, is one who serves the interest of another person. Do you see? And so you can easily find people who are used by God. Hallelujah. People, ordinary people who are used by God to accomplish his purposes. This guy is my servant, and I'll bring him against you guys, and he's coming to come and destroy so many things, and he's going to make them a shock. And the person is working for him. Hallelujah. No such person will come into your life in the name of Jesus. Such people are for stubborn people. Do you see how the Lord said that? Because, where is the verse? Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar king. No, before that, where is the verse before that? Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words. Can you see that? It said, because you have not heard my words. Amen. So that will not be your portion. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That as you obey God, God will not have to send one of those his servants. Do you get it? He will not have to send one of those, you know. If Satan was not there, God could not remove all those things from Job. So he had to use him. He was working for him. Do you understand? He was working for him, and he gave him limits. You can go up to this. Don't touch his body. Do you hear that? He said, yes, sir. I cannot touch. And anything that was within his power, he touched. Only what he was told not to touch, which is the man himself. Then when he came for second round, and they said, now you can touch the man, his body, but you can't touch his life. Hey! He went, the Bible says he covered the man with boils from the top of his head to under his feet. He covered the man with boils. Hey, the devil is wicked. He's wicked. You see. So anyway, that is a blessing. Amen. Amen. So see yourself as a servant of the Lord. Hallelujah. See yourself as a servant of the Lord. If Abraham, if Isaac, if Jacob, what do you call him? David, and all these people can be servants of God, then so can you. Amen. Whatever you do for a living, consider yourself as a servant of God first. That I serve God. I'm a servant of God. I live for God. I live for the interest of God. One pastor was sharing with me how God has blessed him, you know. And he was telling me today that he remembers how I told him, because he was going to live somewhere. He had a job in two places, two cities. One job here and another job here. And I asked him, which of the two cities, he was asking me which one to go to. And I asked him, which of the two cities has potential for starting a church? You see, because this other city was a certain way and the other city had more potential. Now, the salary he was getting over here was twice what he was getting over here. You see, two times, exactly, actually, two times plus 10. You know? Yeah. And he was getting that over there. And here, he was going to get half of that. You see? So he was sort of oriented towards going in this direction. And he was telling me that I told him that that's not how a pastor takes decisions. A pastor must consider his ministry and the opportunity to work for God. So go to this place. So he said, well, he just went there. So today he was sharing with me the blessings that have come to him. You know, and as he spoke to me, all I remembered was Matthew 6:33, which said, seek first the kingdom of God. I was just thinking, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know, and all these things will be added unto you. And today he's so blessed, and he was listing his blessings today. And I said, wow, what a blessing. Do you see? But he could have followed money. And you know, money, sometimes you follow it and it takes you to a dead end. It just dumps you somewhere over there and you realize there's nothing there. You see, but God, if you follow God, if you serve God, you will never regret it.
Amen.
I say you will never regret serving God. You will never look back and say that I have served God in vain. You can't. God will not let you do that. God will not let you spoil his name. Are you getting it? God will not let you serve him for nothing. The Bible says that we serve God for the abundance of all things. So expect a blessing. Expect to be blessed in life. Have a very positive outlook on life. Don't expect an end of disappointment, an end of frustration, an end where you have nothing. God will not allow that to happen to any of his servants. All the people we read about so far, you can see that none of them is broke. None of them is poor. None of the names we mentioned is struggling. All of them are properly looked after by their master. The one who says he is their master, or that they are his servants. Hallelujah. So that will be your story as you serve the Lord in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to go. We'll continue next week. Amen. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. Tell somebody it is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a great thing to be a servant of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. Close your eyes, everybody, and thank God for including you among his servants. Thank God for including you. Say, Lord, I am grateful to be one of your servants. I'm thankful to be called your servant. I am thankful. Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your blessing in the name of Jesus. Thank him. Thank him for the opportunity to live for him. You may have a job, but your life belongs to him. Your life belongs to him. Your life belongs to him. You live for him. You live for him. You live for him. You live for him. Just thank him. Thank him. What a blessing, Lord. What a blessing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity to live for you. Thank you for the opportunity to be servants of the Most High, to serve God. Thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for tonight and thank you for your word. We thank you for making us servants of God, choosing us and counting us among your servants. We pray, O God, that for each of us, that one instruction we must obey, I pray that we will not fail. I pray that you will help us. Help us. May we not fail. May we not fail in the day of temptation, in the day of our testing, in the day when that one issue comes up. Oh God, may we not be found wanting in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and let's receive our offering before we go. Let's receive our offering. Pastor Charles, I need to talk to you, so, I mean, that's if you can wait, but if you can't, I can call you. Okay. You have to go, right? Okay, so call me. Okay. Holy, can you play our song? Actually, play the other one. You are God alone. Hallelujah. Text your offering. Stand to your feet, please.
You do miracles so great.
Yeah!
In your name is victory.
That's right.
Great and mighty God. Great and mighty God.
Lift your hands to him. Come on.
You to miracles so great.
In your name there's victory. Thank you, Jesus.
In your name there's victory. Great and mighty God. Great and mighty God. You are God alone. Thank you.
Jesus a blood offering. Worship him. Praise God. Amen. Right. Are you blessed tonight? Are you glad you came to church? Introduce yourself to the next person as the servant of God. Just say, my name is so and so, the servant of God. Okay. You see, the way they did it in the Bible says, Moses, my servant. Moses, the servant of God. So introduce yourself, mention your name and say, so and so, the servant of God. That's me. That's who I am. Hallelujah. Right. Let's share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion, the fellowship, the contribution, the participation of the Holy Ghost, and the 10,000 children of God be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Wow. What a blessing. Put your hands together for the Lord again. Now, on Friday, this Friday, we're not going to have an all-night. Amen. I want to give the Eden, I want to give them a chance to recover. Okay. So you guys can have the whole evening. Okay. And just have your rehearsal and bank it. Okay. Because the following week is Porch